141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for the penultimate set of Premiership fixtures. The title could be won tomorrow across a combination of Hearts against Falkirk and Motherwell against Celtic. You don't even need to wait until then though. Tonight it's all about the bottom six, and a huge night in particular for St Mirren at Aberdeen. And as if that's not enough, the battle to face the 11th place team in the Premiership heats up. Dunfermline against Partick Thistle in the Premiership playoff semi-final first leg as well. How much drama can you squeeze into a Tuesday night alongside Killian Sheridan and Gordon Dalziel?
Well, you've got to say, what a 6 days we've got ahead of ourselves in Scottish football, Gordon. Excitement everywhere starting tonight, all the way down from the bottom six. A lot of important games, especially Aberdeen. Can the ex-manager of St Mirren, who took them to the cup final and won the cup against Celtic, put them into 11th and put them in real pressure against a championship playoff of Dunfermline Party? They will fancy that. Then tomorrow night, all the big games, all the way through to Saturday and Sunday, it's blockbuster stuff.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you there, Gordon. All the, I think it's kind of written in the stars, unfortunately, for I think Stephen Robertson is going to cement St Mirren in that 11 spot. And it's just trying to not get ahead of ourselves and look beyond tonight's fixtures before tomorrow's round. But yeah, it's I think tonight will be probably, I think it's St Mirren's race will come to an end.
Oh dear. 01419511025. A nice ominous note for you St Mirren fans to start on. But how good is this? I've just found myself, Gordon, doing that really, not really base level of conversation when people go, oh, I can't believe it's that time of the year already. But seriously, I feel like that's really come over me today. I can't believe this season and all the drama and all the unanswered questions in the Premiership title race will be answered by Saturday evening. We're that close, and it could, I've no idea what it looks like between now and then, but we're that close. Yeah, it's going to be incredible.
Honestly, Gordon, we're just second guessing every single time the fixtures come out. You're looking tomorrow night, permutations. I said at the weekend, I thought Hearts opened the door for Celtic at the weekend. Celtic walked right through that door. I fancy them now to go and win the title. But then if they don't beat Motherwell, which is a possibility because Motherwell are absolutely terrific at Fir Park, and Hearts beat Falkirk, then Hearts walk right through the door. And then you've got, as you say there, St Mirren up at Aberdeen tonight. I think they're going to finish in the relegation playoff anyway. And I think that championship game between Dunfermline and Partick is an absolute cracker. The football we're getting this season has been so exciting, Gordon. And I hope, fingers crossed, as a neutral, it goes right to the wire on Saturday, Celtic v Hearts for the Premier League at Celtic Park. Can't get any better.
Well, I was going to say, Killian, because I think everybody knows how fine the lines are here, but the way that I keep thinking about it is after the weekend, because of the hype that goes around the Celtic Rangers fixture, the fact that they won, the fact they've got a bit of momentum, I feel like people are maybe expecting Celtic to go and win the title from here. But Hearts could win it tomorrow. Celtic can't win it tomorrow. Like, that's how much this is in the balance. If Celtic get their 90 minutes wrong and Motherwell win, all that stuff about what they did in the Old Firm game won't matter. Hearts could actually be champions as early as tomorrow night. I think that's remarkable.
Yeah, and it just adds to kind of how the season has been playing all season. Each weekend people are making different predictions about who's the favourite now to win it, who's in the best position. Now all of a sudden it is in Celtic's hands. And it's just, I think it's a fitting end to a season that's kind of had everything. And then Gordon talking about doors, I'd say Rangers fell through a trapdoor.
Do you know the
amongst all that?
I'm annoyed that you've indulged him because he absolutely he's loving that analogy.
Yeah.
He's mentioned that about 40 times.
I'm doors all day long now.
Do you know the worst of it is, right? Yeah. I was doing a lot of stuff on Sky yesterday, loads of live updates. And you'd live TV, you're scrambling around for things to say. I think I said it, and I think I can't believe I've used you for inspiration. I'm sure at one point
there you go.
I had a straight face right down the barrel and said, I mean, Hearts opened the door for Celtic.
It's excitement. We're all excited, Gordon. You can't, honestly, you cannot get a better end to a season. And have a look at the season we've had, you know, Rangers and Celtic with their troubles, their managers, everything that's went before us. Hearts been at the top of the league for so long, been absolutely brilliant. And yet, we could get to a scenario on Saturday, it could go to the last game. Can't ask for any better.
I've one slight complaint is that...
Oh, what now?
How good it could have been if Rangers kept up like some of challenge.
Imagine see, three at the weekend.
Going into this last two games.
We can't have it all. 01419511025. How are you all out there? What are you thinking tonight? Whatever it is, we want to hear it. So get your calls in to Killian Sheridan and Gordon Dalziel between now and 8 o'clock. Of course... Hearts and Celtic fans, you are obsessed with what's happening on the pitch at the moment and what the immediate future looks like. But for you Rangers fans, maybe that medium to long term future, because a big statement from Danny Rule today, yes, tomorrow night's game has now become a bit of an afterthought, but he did his pre-match press conference and he says he'll be in charge next season, essentially. Spoke about having talks with Andrew Kavanagh and with the board. And there's been so much debate over the last couple of weeks about whether he should go or whether he should stay. Well, from the horse's mouth, he is staying. We do know that football can still surprise you and people can still go back on that. But it's pretty definitive. It's about as definitive as you can get at this stage. So I wonder how you feel about that, Rangers fans. Are you disappointed in that? Are you annoyed at that? Do you hope that does change? Or are you happy that that's a line drawn under it? Everyone can try and pull together, rebuild over the summer and get in the title picture next season, where it's Celtic and Hearts that are trying to do that this campaign. Celtic fans, we'll hear from Martin and Neil, of course. How are you feeling? You've got that bit between your teeth. Do you think you will go on and win it from here? How tricky is Fir Park going to be tomorrow? Hearts fans, what about you? I think it's fairly obvious that Mark Leonard and Craig Halkett's seasons were going to be over because there's not long left and they look like serious injuries. But Derek McInnes confirming both of them out for many, many months. So how big a blow is that as you try and get this one over the line? Top six tonight, St Mirren fans, you'll be on your way. Oh, you'll be well on your way, I should say. But Killian Sheridan's already done you, I'm afraid. He's got you beaten tonight, relegated, never to return. So I wonder how you're feeling. And has it got that sort of poetic injustice, if that's the way you see it, from Stephen Robinson, of all people, maybe putting one of the final nails in the coffin tonight? Partick Thistle fans, let's hear from you. You were clearly the second best team in the Championship this season, but that doesn't always carry you through the playoffs. How are you feeling ahead of the clash with Dunfermline? And anything else at all, pick up that phone, 01419511025. Danny Rule's comments today, Gordon, interesting.
Yeah, he's come out fighting. Look, that's well known. I think the owners behind the scenes quite like the Rangers manager. The sort of a fans have got a split decision on that. I don't think the weekend helped at all. We were inundated with phone calls and most of them asking him to leave the building and get a new manager in for next season. Listen, it's one of those situations. Do you just keep going and sacking managers? Do you trust them with obviously the summer transfer window, and then 2 months into the season, if it's not going right, then you're looking for another manager again. You're left with all the players that another manager might come in not want. It's a really, really tricky situation for Rangers. If they're going to believe that this is a guy that can take them forward, put in a challenge next year, try and win some silverware, because it's been a real poor season. As much as all the Rangers fans have come on at times and said, oh, he got us back into a title race. Well, he never won any of the Cups. And in the title race, he failed miserably when it came to the split. When he had an opportunity, because he was the same as Hearts and Celtic, he had it in his own hands, didn't need to depend on anybody else. I just wonder what the Rangers fans are thinking about that tonight.
Well, go on then, answer the man. 01419511025. Let's hear from Danny Rule. Says he will be in charge of Rangers next season. After being given backing by the club's board, he says one of the main priorities this summer is to bring in leaders.
Yes. I think the last 48 hours was unbelievable. The support from the board, everyone around me see a lot of positive things, but we are also critical of ourselves. I think there's no question mark. The most important thing is, and this is what I many times said, we have to take all the informations and what we need in the new season. And I think you can imagine, I think with Tef, we will lose the captain, and it means for us, and this is for us a big signal as well. We need new leaders, more leaders for the dressing room to set our standards, what we want in the training pitch, in difficult moments in the game. I think this is crucial, and this is a great opportunity to work on this. I had yesterday a conversation again with the club, and you can be really, trust me, I'm very clear, especially also after the last 3 weeks, what we need to be top, top, top.
Top, top, top. Three tops. Craig is in Moody's Burn. Craig, Danny Rule will be there next season, he says. Is that good news, bad news, somewhere in between?
Bad news for me. Lawrence Gordon, obviously Dazzler, I don't know if he does remember, but obviously I thought sort of the possibility of, you know, sort of change last summer. And I was the guy that I really wanted to come, you know, Sean Dyche. And I think for me, Sean Dyche at the moment would steady the ship in terms of Rangers are concerned. He would bring, I hate to bring the great man's name into it, but he would bring an almost Walter Smith Cam like presence to this Rangers team. And Sean Dyche for me would be someone, you know, people are going to shout from the rooftops. You probably had guys on your show talking about Gerrard and Denny McInnes and this, that and the other. Gerrard's turned us down twice and he walked away. Gerrard for me, in terms of that, he's burnt his bridges with Rangers. You don't get a second chance to become Rangers manager, never mind three chances. But for a lot of people in the Rangers fan base, Gerrard can do no wrong, which is quite baffling to me when you consider, you know, that what's happened this season happened twice under Steven Gerrard in 19 and 20. He took the team to Dubai twice and they collapsed, despite being in front of Celtic twice. Anyway, I digress. But
see, just on this, Craig, just to kind of dig a bit into something, is that quite... Is it quite telling here that Danny Rule says he's going to stay next season and you and some other Rangers fans are still just thinking about who else you would rather have? Is it going to be tough for you to get behind him then, or do you think you'll manage it in time?
Listen, I'll get behind anybody. You know, I've been a Rangers supporter since I was 6 years old. I'll be 40 this year. I know people on YouTube coming, oh, Craig, he talks about your age. But listen, whoever the Rangers manager is, whoever the Rangers team is, I'll get behind. That's just what you do as a supporter. But do I want Danny Rowe as a Rangers manager? No. Do I think it could be a good right-hand man to somebody? Absolutely. In the same way that Michael Beale is a right-hand man to Gerrard, but he's not a Rangers manager in a million years. He get the bounce, as people say, when he came in, and he got that sort of... I don't want to say he was lucky at Parkhead because that demeans the result, but that 3-1 result at Parkhead bought him a lot of time, in my opinion. And I've seen this online. I hate going back to online, but in my opinion, Danny Rowe, or Rowe, or whatever you want to pronounce his name as, it was always a stopgap to the end of the season. Whether or not it's going to be publicly lodged, and, you know... I haven't paid a lot of attention to this, but if Rangers back him in the summer and they say, go and get your own players, I'll be honest, I really see us just being in the position we were under, you know, previous managers come November. It's going to be rinse and repeat, and then the new managers come in and say, I don't like these players. I don't like this. And do you know, Gordon, the most galling thing for me is the guy's been here 7-8 months. I don't know what his style of football is. I genuinely don't know what that is.
Killian, what do you think? Sorry, Craig, we've covered quite a good bit of ground, so to bring the guys in. Killian, what do you make of that update, essentially, if that's what it is from Danny Rule?
Not that surprised. I don't think if there was that meeting with the club, I don't think they would have said too much other than, we support you, you have our backing. That's generally the...
Do you think there's still time for him not to be Rangers manager next season?
Yeah, I think it's more likely he won't.
Oh, really?
My opinion,
despite
that's what
him
I've
going out
I've
and
thought,
saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and again, I kind of take what he was saying with a pinch of salt, or maybe he...
The only thing I'll say to that is, if he wins his last two games, I don't think he's coming out making that statement without assurances, right?
But then the Rangers board did back... Was it Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart not so long ago, and then got rid of them soon after?
But I think he's had the chat right, so he's confident enough to come out and say that. I think the only thing that would maybe sway a little bit for me is if he'd come out and lose his next two games, and then that's him, the post-split, didn't win a game. The one thing I picked up in the Rangers manager there, and this is where I look at him and think, right, okay, you're mentioning about you're losing Tavernier and you want leaders on the pitch. My question is quite simple. I think the biggest leader's got to be the guy standing off the pitch, the guy that makes the decisions, the guy that's a manager. He's a leader. And my question, Mark, is he a good enough leader to take Rangers' next step?
Yeah, I get what the meaning behind that, where he seems more like a coach, a head coach. And I understand with a Sean Dyche, there is that more of a manager presence about him on the sideline, I think. I think probably Danny Rowles' biggest problem would be if he does stay on stays on for next season, the fans are going to be split, and there's going to be guys who want him out, and there's going to be the people who want him to stay. And then as soon as he comes in, it's like they're waiting for that bad form or bad run to happen, and then everything just starts again, I feel.
Sean Dyche, certainly up until now, I don't know if he's suddenly changed his mind on these things, but would command a much higher wage than any Rangers manager's ever had.
Yeah,
much higher.
Yeah, as much as Rangers are a massive attraction, right? Dyche was mentioned before as well, and I don't think there was any opportunity. I think he sees a club in England for him just now. I might be wrong, but I think that Danny Rowe will be in charge of Rangers next year.
Well, I think it'll be Gerrard, personally.
There we go. Well, Darren is on the other line. Darren, Danny Rowe says he's staying. What do you make of that?
I'm quite happy with that, to be honest, because my personal opinion on it is, I haven't just looked back, it's been years and years, manager in, manager out, manager in, like, the last 4 years been like that. So how can you break a cycle if you can't back the guy? He's not his players.
But do you ultimately believe he's the right guy, though? Because I'm kind of along those lines generally in football, Darren, where I always think like it just turns over too quickly. You surely need to give people a chance. You also need to believe that person's the right guy, otherwise you're cutting off your nose really to spite your face. So do you think he's the right man?
I think like, just we came in, he got his winning, like, I mean, I know we had a few draws in that, got his winning, then like, I know what happened, like, you can't do anything about that, but there's always next season and we'll get the money behind us now. I know money's not everything in football, but I think we should back him. If it doesn't work out, it wouldn't work out. But I think he will next year.
Again, I'd see just the general logic of giving managers a bit more time, I think, is fine. But I'm just listening, Darren saying, you know, the winning run didn't keep going, you can't do anything about that. Rangers fans are hoping as a manager, you can do something about that. And again, then Darren said, if it doesn't work out, then fine. But no, that's not
the same scenario, aren't you?
And then you're back to the same scenario. Mm-hmm. And then the next guy, it's not his players either.
That's right.
And he doesn't get the pre-season. So now is a really key moment to make that. This is very harsh on Danny Rowe, but see, because of the timing of it, see, even if Rangers are slightly unsure, would that not lean you more towards making a change?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll go back to what I was saying there about tonight's word is leaders, right? Leaders on the pitch for Rangers. I said leaders off the pitch in the dugout. Then above that, the leaders who have already made a really bad, bad mistake with Russell Martin, are they going to sit now and go, in one season we've made two really bad mistakes because we're going to sack Danny Rowe as well? Or they turn around and say, right, we have to put our fingers together, cross them, back the guy and hope that he produces the goods for us. Because they will be getting looked at as well. You can't just keep bringing managers in, sacking them without people having a look and questioning your judgment.
It's some balance, that, isn't it, though?
I don't think I'd put Danny. If they went and sacked Danny Rowe now, I wouldn't put that in the same category of mistakes as appointing Russell Martin.
But you sacked two managers in one season, mate.
But yeah, but I think they're completely
and it's your
different.
Decision. You brought two managers in and you've sacked them within one season of your decision. But, I know Russell Martin was an absolute
that's
disaster.
What Killian, that's what you're trying to say, isn't it? Yeah. One's like catastrophic and one's like maybe.
Like
we
if you went up until a month ago, you're probably thinking, Danny Rowe, he's been a good appointment. The last month is just all completely blown up, I think.
Yeah, but if you sack them, you're not going to come out and say, well, he was a lesser disaster, so we're okay with that.
I know time will tell on everything, yeah. But there's the argument of in the future where they look back and they didn't sack him.
Well, right, okay, you've just said there that he done well up until last month, right? So in that case, you're saying, oh, I think Steven Gerrard will be the manager of Rangers. Why not keep him then if he's done well up to last month and say, right, okay, we'll go and stick with him because he has done well, but unfortunately the split, he's went off it, he's lost a few games, important games, and we'll stick to him. You think they'll make a change?
I do, yeah.
Right, why not stick with him because you've said he's done very well up to last month?
Because the last month has been the most important, like, crunch time. This is when Martin O'Neill, Celtic, Hearts, Derek McInnes have all maintained their form or stayed where they should have been and kept themselves within
there's a scale
the
though
league,
isn't there
mm-hmm.
Russell Martin's like, this is a disaster, he absolutely must go, mm-hmm. whereas if the trigger was pulled on Danny Rule at the moment, it would be more of a he's probably not the right guy, we're in the summer, let's make a change.
I get that and I totally agree with what everyone said, but it's still a little bit of a
you Darren. 0141 951 1025. Good time to call, we'll get you on next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Killian Sheridan and Gordon Dalziel are here. 0141 951 1025. What a blockbuster Tuesday night of topics we've got, because sometimes Tuesday's that bit quieter, you're not sure whether to reflect on the weekend or move on. We've got the bottom six all playing tonight. St Mirren fans, that performance at the weekend, that result, Craig McLeish's post-match interview, the form you've been on, the injuries, is this all pointing towards finishing in the relegation playoff spot? Or can you do something against Aberdeen tonight and start the comeback? Do let us know. Everyone else that's involved down there, we've got that massive playoff game between Dunfermline and Partick Thistle as well. And loads of you just want to look ahead to tomorrow, which is completely understandable because so do we as well. 0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. Get in touch, we'll try and hear from as many of the managers as we can as well. Danny Rule has been speaking today saying that he will be here next season. Serge is a Rangers fan. What do you make of that news, Serge?
As a Rangers fan, I'm actually quite happy. Obviously, my belief in the manager's been shaking the last few weeks. But we've got to remember, this guy came in and took on a basket case, which was the Russell Martin leader. We've gave him one transfer window. I've asked Rangers fans, who do you want then? Because say we appoint whoever. Say it doesn't go well 8 games in next season. To what do we bump? That's the new manager they want in. And then we're stuck with two loads of players that we can't get ready. Danny Rowe's one, and the one the new manager's obviously going to need to bring in.
To be fair, you wouldn't do that. The only reason Russell Martin's situation was unprecedented because it was Rangers' worst start in decades, so that's why he only lasted 8 games. You know, it's highly unlikely that Rangers would get a new manager in the summer and then sack him after 8 games. However, you're backing Danny Rowe. What if think of all the pressure that he's under from certain elements of the fan base. What if he doesn't start next season, Will?
Well, at least you've only got one set of players to get rid of, Danny Rowe's players. You know what I mean? You should have a whole new lot of signings, right, that are the new managers. And see, you're saying Russell Martin after 8 games. If Rangers have more than 6 points half the league, mm-hmm. right, after 8 games, the new manager, or whoever, Danny Rowe, whoever, will be rightly under pressure. Rangers are at a crossroads again. The pre-10 or all season with Steven Gerrard, right? Fans have been extremely loyal. The rank and file that go week in, week out. It's expensive to go and see football, to be all known now, right? Now, if Rangers don't win this league next season, they've got to get it right, because see your season ticket money and that, and the financial crisis we're in. People are not going to blindly give money every season, but when there's no success, there's got to be tangible success. Mm. We've got to give a manager a chance. There's been improvement under Rowe. Right? The business model of the club's far superior than what it's been for many a year now. We've got sellable assets. We seem to be doing something decent in the transfer window. What I would say is maybe less loan signings and more long-term signings. But we've got to back the manager. Mm-hmm. Right? All right, he's failed at the last hurdle. We're all desperately disappointed. We're desperately disappointed in the cup run that. But the football's been a lot better.
Has right? it, though? Because we've got loads of Rangers fans on saying there's no real style and they don't enjoy it.
I don't know. I think the problem with Rangers is they can't play with intensity for 90 minutes. That's a big problem. We seem to play in fits and starts.
What do you make of that, Gordon? The notion that the risk of getting a new manager is you might sack him after 8 games. I just feel like, I don't know, call it law of averages or whatever, even if you want to strip it to that. I think the chances of getting another managerial appointment so wrong in the summer that you sack him after 8 games is slim. It needs to be, to give a manager a pre-season, a summer transfer window and sack him after 8 games, it needs to be horrific. Mm-hmm. Russell Martin levels of horrific. Mm-hmm. I just can't see that.
Yeah, lightning strike
happening twice. Again. No, but
I do agree. Listen, Serge is quite. Look, if Serge thinks the manager is the right man, there's not a problem with that, and I don't think he'll be alone. But there's a lot of doubters. But the most important thing for a Rangers manager is the people above. Do they believe that he's the right man to give him money? Let him go out there, bring his own players in, and he had a good transfer. Now, remember, he had a good transfer window in January, a strong transfer window, everybody was saying. They're finished third. They're trophyless again. So I don't know if they're a great big improvement under this manager. I'm not sitting here going, managers should be sacked. That's up to clubs to make that decision. It's up to supporters to have their own opinion of it. I think Rangers do need a big, big summer transfer window. I think there's a lot of dead wood in there. I think there's a lot of players that need put out and replaced. And then it's up to the owners to say, is this a man that's going to be trusted with the purse strings?
I think, you know, Serge is saying he wants Danny Rule to stay. That's not the bit I'm taking issue with, Killian. That's up to the Rangers fans, not up to me. I don't think that's controversial. More like the working, the notion that Rangers might sack the new guy 8 games in. I just find that so hard to believe that would happen 2 seasons in a row.
Like, you make a good point there about if a new guy comes in, he's surely not going to have as bad of a first 8 games as Russell Martin did last season. Whereas I think if Danny Rowe has a shaky first 8 games, he's already going into next season under pressure from how this season has finished.
Without going over old ground as well, Russell Martin was desperately unpopular from the beginning, so that, you know, that didn't help. Mm. If you went and got someone, I don't know who that person is,
I think
just
it'd
hypothetically,
be a similar thing next season, to where there'll be a lot of Rangers fans who will be in the camp of Danny Rowe hasn't done enough to be there in charge next season, and he's already then going into a season, into a campaign.
See the
with fans who kind of are expecting him to fail.
Sorry, mate. See the thing I will pick Serge up in. And you spoke about it there, Gordon. I don't know a lot of football Rangers fans that go and watch Rangers and say, I'm enjoying the football, right? I don't. Maybe Serge does. He pays his money, quite entitled to his opinion. But I'm not getting the feeling that the Rangers fans, as much as they're disappointed with the end of the season, are walking away from Rangers thinking, I can't wait for next year because I like the style of play, I like the football, I'm enjoying it. Yeah, a couple of bad results for us. I think there's got to be a big improvement in that as well.
Thank you very much to Serge. Let's hear from Danny Rule on taking responsibility.
Yeah, too much time was not just 24 hours, but was enough to look back to the game. Of course, I think you look to the full picture. And I'm now here since 204 days. If you take the 190 days... Yeah, it was okay. And I take the responsibility as well for the last 15, 16 days. And this is my job. I think this is as a manager. If you win, you make a lot of things right. If you lose 3 games in important time of the year, then of course it's normal that you get questions and you have to answer the question. That's the reason why I'm here.
Keep those calls coming in, please. So 141 951 1025. Send your thoughts in, whether it is on Danny Rule or anything else. Before we go any further, let me tell you about this.
Clyde One. Mega May.
Mega May indeed on Make Me A Winner. It means there's no need to wait until Friday to win big. It was Owen who won £300,000 on Friday, but now you could take home even more because we're giving away £325,000 tomorrow. Text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter makemeawinner.co.uk where you'll find all the rules for this network competition. Or you can call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only and the lines close at 5pm tomorrow. Text YES to 61025. Good luck from us.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cillian Sheridan is here alongside Gordon DL, both excited about what's to come tonight and tomorrow and over the next few days. Going to be unmissable. So let's keep going with the previews. David's a Celtic fan. What are you thinking, David? Is it yours from here, or you still got worries?
No, I've got no worries at all. Celtic's going to win the league.
No worries at all?
None at all.
Jeez, that's confidence.
Because one of the best players for Motherwell this season, fair play to Motherwell, Stephen Welsh, he's not playing, isn't he?
He didn't play when Motherwell beat you 2-0 at Fir Park either.
But I think we had a weakness in our managerial setup.
You might be right.
Aye, so there's no weakness in the managerial set up this time. Martin O'Neill's a wild old fox. He's put on the best teams in Europe and beat them. You know what I mean? And I just think that leaves Marvel, first of all, a weakness, because Stephen Welsh isn't playing, because he's our player. And by the way, he'll be coming back in the summer and he's right in contention for a place in the first team squad. And then other players that have went out and all, Callum McGregor came back brilliant. Ryan Christie, out and alone, came back brilliant. Liam Scales, who to me is, my humble opinion, is Celtic's player of the season so far. Kieran Tierney, put him out on loan to Arsenal, came back, better player now. Johnny Kenny, he's about to fire Bolton Wanderers into the Championship.
So keep going, David, keep going.
Kelly Sheridan.
I was just going to say, I'm about to get a mention.
Come back, the worst player
he's,
ever.
He's available. Where did Ryan Christie fit into this? Did you mean somebody else?
No, Ryan Christie, we put him out on loan to Aberdeen. And then
right, you did previously. Sorry. I thought Ryan Christie was returning.
No,
right,
he was rhyming everybody.
Oh, the loans that have worked. Right, okay.
Celtic's doing some right, and Martin O'Neill's in charge of the team now. And I don't think you'll be making the same mistakes as what we did at Fir Park the last time when we got absolutely schooled. Don't get me wrong, that was terrible. I thought, dear.
I thought differently, to be honest. But obviously there's a huge difference in the Wilfred Nancy 33 days, it was part of that, was maybe the low point of it. Stephen Welsh, again, I'm kind of being a bit facetious. Of course, Muller were going to miss Stephen Welsh because he's been their starting centre back. And if Paul McGinn's still injured, that's both of them out at the same time. It's not just Muller will have done okay though in the Celtic Park games without Stephen Welsh. I know they didn't manage to win them, but I don't think his absence has been missed terribly in the Celtic games, but maybe him combined with McGinn, maybe that's more of an issue. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be looking more at the importance of the game tomorrow night. I think it's going to play a big part as well. The managers, as David quite rightly says, it's night and day. Obviously Martin and Neil's there. Mother will have been up and down with their form. I thought they were very good against Rangers. Hearts first half, I thought they played well, and then obviously I thought Hearts were better side second half. Look, if I was given a prediction, I fancy that this league title is going to the last game of the season. I think Celtic will go and get the job done at Fir Park tomorrow.
Because of the importance of the game, you said?
No, just because of...
Because teams have been losing important games this season, that's the
because
point.
I think because of the scenario, i.e. manager, I think... Like Maeda coming back to form, I think the loss. I know what you're saying about Welsh, but if McKinn's missing as well, there's a big hole in that defence. Motherwell will try and play that style of football, of course they will. I think it'll be a very, very good game. I think one or two. I thought Ingles the weekend started showing a bit of form. I do agree with David. I think Scales gets a bit of unfair criticism. Alistair Johnston's getting more minutes under his belt as well. I just think there's a different feel about Celtic going to Fir Park tomorrow night. You're right, it's not about the key. You've got to go and win the game, because there will be nerves there, because I fancy Hearts strongly to win at Tynecastle. So that'll put a little bit of pressure on Celtic, thinking, well, if we lose here, all of a sudden that dream's gone. It's away. But I just get a feeling this title, because of the way things have happened, is going right to the wire Saturday at Celtic Park.
I think he saved himself there, because I think, fine, Maida's back in form, Engels is back, so on. But I think just because it's important, you know, it was important for Rangers at Tynecastle, and look what happened there. Hearts dropped points at Fir Park the other night when they could have taken a massive step towards the title. So it's got to take more than that to win a game, surely.
I just think Celtic have hit form as the best time in the season. They've grinded out 36, or they've played 36 games and grinded out, what, 24 wins?
Look sharper, don't they?
They look a lot more intensity. A massive part of that is Daiza Maeda. He just, it kind of just like, it's an infectious energy that seems to go through the team. I think Arnie Engels coming back has been massive. He's added a lot more dynamism into the midfield, I think. You can see off the ball, he's been a big difference. But I agree with you, I think it'll be a cracking game. Because I think Motherwell are kind of like free to play the way they have played all season. And Celtic need to win it.
Yeah. And they've got impact players as well. Listen, yeah.
I don't think Hearts game will be as straightforward.
No, I do. I think Hearts at Tynecastle, that full house.
Even with no Leonard and Halkett.
Yeah, because I think Falkirk are missing a few players. Gordon, I may be wrong, but I think they're sort of turning up there a week inside as well. I think Hearts firepower puts them over the line for me against Falkirk. And I know that you can go back to the argument, well, Falkirk went there before. I totally understand that. I think Hearts will have enough to win that. I'm telling you now, I've said it, and my predictions have been brilliant lately. It's going right to the last game of the season.
Well, it will anyway.
If Hearts win and Celtic lose.
No, but if Hearts
from a Celtic
stumbled,
perspective.
If Hearts stumbled, it would still go to the last game.
Yeah, but
I just think Falkirk.
But if Hearts win and Celtic lose, it doesn't go to the last game.
Yeah. But I think for Hearts, I think Falkirk, it's the worst result Hearts could have had for Hibs to beat them and Falkirk to have such a poor game at the weekend.
So you think Falkirk, despite having not as much on the line, will be sort of stung and want to make up for it and perform better?
I've never been I've played in dead rubber games, but I've never went out and felt any need to play less or more. And sometimes I think even if you have something to play for, a game can pass you by.
Mm-hmm. Look, on their day, Falkirk is a good side. Let's not be kidded here. They've been absolutely brilliant this season. And they deserve to be in the top six, no doubt about it. I think they've got one or two of the key players. I know what you're saying about Hearts as well. Leonard and Halkett, massive. Halkett's
terrible
massive
news for both of them.
Yeah, especially at this time of the season as well, Gordon. Any time of the season, let's be honest about it. But Halkett has been such a player for them. So he'll be a big miss, but I fancy Hearts with fire.
So I'm playing mental gymnastics with the Falkirk fans, because I tipped them to go down at the start of the season.
Sure did I?
Yeah.
David, so what do you think is going to happen? Celtic will win tomorrow. Do you think Hearts win as well? And then
no, I think Falkirk's going to take something off Hearts. Hearts will bottle it. Falkirk will turn up at Tynecastle. Oh, remember the Scottish Cup game? Remember that?
David, everybody's been saying Hearts have got to be bottling it for about 30-odd weeks now, and they're still sitting top of the league. So I don't think we can question that. I don't think we can turn around and say Hearts will bottle it. No. Hearts won't bottle it. Let's be honest here. Hearts ain't bottling
it. Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm asking too much of the Scottish football public here, but I feel like on behalf of Hearts, I want to make a pact right now that if Hearts don't win the league, it doesn't mean it's bottled. You can be outperformed. You know, Celtic might just pit them to the post. Celtic, Killian says, have timed their run right. Look at what Hearts are giving every week. Look at the way they come back from being goals down.
10 men.
Being at 10 men before, having to handle adversity, step up in big moments. Listen, they might not do it. They might not win. That doesn't mean they've bottled it. Why is that the only setting that we've got?
Look at the amount of times, and even when they went in the split against Rangers, come back for a goal against Motherwell, they were behind, come back. Mm. So they're no bottle merchants. Let's put that out the window here. They're no bottle merchants.
But to be fair, if it's Hearts nil Falkirk 2 tomorrow night, everyone will say they're talking. Which is, and maybe I'll have a fight in my hands to convince people otherwise. Is it all about bottles?
It's just today's online.
It's just easy to label. Hyperbole. We prefer to label stuff and just have a kind of, you know, oh well, it's just bottle, isn't it? Just bottle.
What we're going to say is, if Hearts don't win the league, Celtic have walked through the door.
Oh God, this door analogy. Honestly, let's hear a bit more from Martin O'Neill. This is what he had to say ahead of the trip to Fir Park.
It gives us a big boost of confidence going into the game tomorrow evening. That's obviously the most important thing. Naturally, winning the game and in the manner in which we did is great, but that's gone. Really has gone now. That's over and done with. And we face a major task here tomorrow evening. Actually, if we win the two games, easier said than done, if we win the two games, we win it. And you would have got long odds about that a number of weeks ago, certainly a few months ago. So, from that viewpoint, it's just we have to try and win, and that will not be easy. If you notice, I'm in a topsy-turvy season. You know, you would have to question whether, you know, that hunger existed early on in the season, you know. That's the point, but it's if it has come back, then that's great. We're all guilty of, you know, talking a really good game. You have to do it. You have to really do it on the pitch, and that's what we have to try and do tomorrow night.
John is on the other line. How are you, John?
Hi, how you doing, Gordon? How you doing, guys? Okay.
Yeah, good. Thanks.
Believe it or not, Gordon, it's John for Ravens, Craig. I was hoping Hugh was on the night, but he's not on. We're back in it.
Well, Friday night, I'm sure he'll be here. I'm sure he'll have lots to say.
Hopefully the results. Listen, the guy before me, actually, a couple before Martin O'Neill spoke, thought he made a lot of good points regarding different players and things like that. But I can't believe he made the comment that Liam Scales has been one of the best Celtic players this season. That throws me. That absolutely throws me. And I can't believe we've put a guy like Stephen Welsh out on loan to Motherwell, who is a 10 times player Liam Scales is. Can't believe it. What I will say is, I think you asked me my percentage, obviously, a few weeks ago regarding who would win the league and what chances I gave three teams. And I gave a 33% chance. And I still gave a chance, 50-50 chance, with Hearts and Celtic going into the last few games of the season. I do think Hearts will walk all over Falkirk tomorrow night. And I do think Celtic has got a really tough game against Motherwell tomorrow night. Going into the last game of the season, Celtic need to win tomorrow night. They can't draw. I know draw keeps us in it, but I reckon the goal difference going into the last game of the season could be quite substantial in the last game of the season, and I don't think we could win it in goal difference, to be perfectly honest with you. So it was just my point about Liam Scales. I just thought this year, you know, I think he's been kept in the door, and I believe it's the Irish background connection. Believe it or not, that he's Martin O'Neill still playing him, but I don't think he's as good as what we've got out there, to be perfectly honest with you.
I've got to say
to the Irishman in the room.
No,
more appropriate.
Oh, sorry, my apologies. Yeah, go on then.
He divides opinion drastically, Liam Scales, doesn't he?
I think he's had a good season. I'd probably go, I don't know if he's player of the year. I think he's definitely within a shout for it. I kind of fancied Negrin to win the player of the year, but I don't think Scales hasn't really put a foot wrong too much. I do think he's a great, like, last ditch defender.
Back to
gets
the wall.
His body all the time in blocks, gets his head in places, like proper brave defending. I think he's done well. And then the other side of it is, Stephen Welsh will look better because he's away from the club and he's in a team that's, I think you could say that about a lot of the players at Motherwell, that this season a lot of them have looked like much better players than they have in previous seasons. I think it's just an easy thing to say once one's away from the club and doing well, then you're looking at him all of a sudden like he's a much, much better player than what he was at Celtic.
John rated it 50-50 for the title.
Can I agree with John?
What's your calculator looking?
I'm thinking Celtic 70% just now, right? But I will agree with John in one thing he said there. If Celtic draw tomorrow and Hearts win, I don't think Celtic are making up the goal difference, because I think Hearts will win by a few goals tomorrow.
What if they draw 3-0? I'm joking.
John McGlynn will be listening to you. Yeah. Do you think Falkirk will get battered tomorrow?
John has been brilliant. I love
Hearts,
John.
The Hearts win games by loads of goals?
No, I'm not saying battered. I think they could win by two. Right, that's no battered. 2-0. I think Arsenal's not been battered. All right, and if Celtic go maybe a 1-1 draw, I'm sorry. You're not making that up.
Don't apologise to me. Thank you, John and Ravens. Craig, let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see what you're made of tonight. Can you get the better of Gordon Dale or Killian Sheridan? Win yourself a sign ball or the Beat the Pundit coin, and more importantly, get those bragging rights secured. Give us a call before 7 o'clock and we'll play Beat the Pundit next. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon Dale is here alongside Killian Sheridan, so keep the calls coming in please. 0141 951 1025. We'd love to hear from you because there's so much going on. Of course, we're previewing the title race tomorrow and the two big games involving Motherwell and Celtic and Hearts and Falkirk. Rangers fans, you don't need me to tell you the game doesn't take on much importance tomorrow, but Danny Rule spoke today, says he will be here next season. How do you feel about that in light of all the arguments we've been having about that topic in the last couple of weeks? The bottom six face their penultimate set of fixtures this evening. Feel like it means more to St Mirren than anyone else. So any of you St Mirren fans out there, any chance you can get out of this 11th spot, or is it actually about trying to go into the playoffs in some sort of form? Speaking of the playoffs, Dunfermline against Partick Thistle, first leg tonight. So loads to get through on 0141 951 1025, and we play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Is there any greater travesty on this earth than when somebody nicks my Beat the Pundit coin?
No, I'm sure. Before we go I'm on sure air. I've seen you with it in your hand tonight at one
point. Excuse me. What do you think of
it? Well, it was over there at your.
What would I have done with it? You think I've stolen it?
No idea.
So anyway, Johnny is going to play this evening.
Got to beat the...
No, but that's not the point. I'm glad that producer Chris can find me a replacement. But where's my actual one?
Well, who was on last night? Brian Graham and Alec Ray.
That's a good point. I wasn't here last night. See what happens?
Yep.
Things go walkies.
Yep. One of those.
Tell you what, Rob Royston, one of them, Dennis and the other.
Yeah.
That's where I'd look.
They're probably two or three men.
Anyway, Johnny, how's it going?
Very good.
You're in Naples, Johnny.
Aye, I know. It's a wee bit different from the times I've been in Lagos and Turkey, like, and everything.
Are you working on holiday? What's the story?
No, I remember, like, I was on before. I escaped from Lagos the last time.
You did. You're the international criminal that calls in, and we can't quite figure out why.
That's the one, aye.
Okay.
You having a pizza, Johnny?
I'm going to have one after I beat one of yous at
that. Yeah, that's it, to celebrate.
I think Johnny's in, like, the Mafia, Naples.
Naples. By the way, home of the pizza. I didn't like the pizzas in Naples.
That sums you up.
I didn't.
You're the type Johnny of guy that goes there and complains.
Do you like them over there, mate?
No, I was at the game last night. I was at the Napoli-Bologna game last night.
Oh, was it 3-2 or something?
I left it to each. I missed
Never leave a game early, Johnny.
You are the type of guy that goes to Naples, moans about the pizza, and then just goes to Tony Macaroni or somewhere when you get up the road, aren't you? No offence.
And by the way, trying to get across the road is ridiculous.
Great. I'm going to toss the coin. Thanks for that travel input.
But it's a nice country.
You should take the travel vlogging.
I was going to say, it's a nice place to go to.
Input. Right, blue side of the coin's Killian Sheridan. Red side of the coin will be Gordon Dale. So let's see how it ends up this evening. And it is red for the Dazzle.
Come on, pizza man.
Did you enjoy the game at Fir Park on Saturday night,
loved
by the way?
Because
I put up some stuff on Instagram, and the number of people who got in touch to say, did the Dazzler go? He said he was going to go. Did he go?
Tomorrow night as well.
Did you go on Saturday though?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah,
okay. Sure. Right.
One minute finished.
Let's give Gordon something else to listen to. You have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who's got a better win percentage at Rangers, Danny Rule or Philippe Clement?
Clement.
Which Celtic player's on loan at Lech Poznan?
Pass.
Name any manager nominated for the Football Writers and the PFA Award.
Jens Bertolasco.
Who's made the most league starts for Hearts this season?
I don't know, the guy that won the, like, the Player of the Year.
Name any manager in the English Championship who is Scottish.
Alex Neil.
Okay, Gordon Dale, let's bring him back. Can you hear us?
Mm-hmm.
30 seconds, same set of questions. You're 10th in the Beat the Pundit table, by the way.
I've won four out of the last four.
You need a strong finish to the season. Your time starts now. Who's got a better win percentage at Rangers, Danny Rule or Philippe Clement?
Danny Rule.
Which Celtic player's on loan at Lech Poznan?
Pass.
Name any manager nominated for Football Writers and PFA Award.
McInnes.
Who's made the most league starts for Hearts this season?
Braga.
Name any manager in the English Championship who's Scottish.
English Championship. Pass.
Which club had the most players in the team of the year?
Motherwell.
Okay. What do you think, Johnny?
Don't know.
Fair enough. Good. Yep. Good
I
answer.
Know. I don't know. That's close.
Championship.
Let's find out and go through
a
them.
Pillow fight.
Don't shout out the answers, just you wait. Who's got the better win percentage as Rangers manager, Danny Rule or Philippe Clement? You said Danny Rule, Johnny said Philippe Clement. It is Philippe Clement.
Is
it's
it?
A pretty good win percentage, 64% to 55. Okay. So it's 1-0 to Johnny. The Celtic player on loan at Lech Poznan, Killian, could you remember who that would be?
Palmer?
It is. But why are you telling me that now?
I don't know. I thought it was Palmer, but I couldn't get it out.
Name any manager nominated for the Football Writers and the PFA Award. Johnny said Jens Bertolascu. The whole point, Johnny, was that he wasn't nominated for the PFA. That's why everyone was disagreeing. You had the choice of John McGlynn or Derek McInnes. Equaliser, Gordon DL.
What is it?
You're not going to like this. There's going to be a stewards inquiry. I was feeling generous to Johnny tonight.
We'll see if I
like it. We'll get back to it.
I like Johnny.
We're level. Name any manager in the English Championship who's Scottish. Alex Neil.
Oh, why did I not get him?
Johnny got it and goes one in front.
Oh, that's right.
You could have chosen James Morrison of West Brom as well.
Nah, Alex Neil. Millwall, they were playing last night.
Which club had the most players in the PFA team of the year? It was Motherwell, who had five. Johnny didn't get that far. That's your level, which means we're going to need a VAR check on this next one.
Right, come on. I'll be as fair as I possibly can.
I just think we should give this to... Did you hear Johnny's attempt?
No.
I just think we should give this to Johnny.
No, because I've been in these shoes before. Johnny, I'll do my best for you, right? I promise you, I'll be up front.
You're
honest.
The worst.
I think
other pundits... Right, the question was, who's made the most league starts for Hearts this season?
It is Braga.
It is Braga.
Yeah.
Right, you got it.
Right, what did he say?
Johnny went, the guy that won the Player of the Year.
Yeah, okay, 3-2. Victory,
you're not giving him that. You're not giving him that.
Not a chance.
No, am I clutching at straws
here? Not a chance, unlucky. Johnny, I'll tell you what, if you answer this truthfully, I'll go along with it. Would you have given that to me?
No.
Johnny,
I was talking to Gordon.
I don't know. I do hold no, you to Johnny says account not. Quite a lot. I just feel like I don't know. End of the season.
That's why Johnny's on the run, doing
exactly.
Himself in.
Exactly. Johnny grasses himself in everywhere he goes. Who was it? It was me.
Exactly. In Naples.
Do you know what I think?
I robbed the bank.
Am I not anywhere near convincing you? Like, he knew who it was.
Listen.
He just couldn't get the name
hold
out.
Hold on. I knew Palmer and couldn't get the name
no,
out.
No, but you passed.
Know what I mean? I knew who it was, but I couldn't get the name out. Sorry, Johnny, it's a wee victory.
Right, okay. What about the tiebreaker? But your record stays intact. Okay, but Johnny can still win. No, in fact, we'll just sack that off because we're no sending a ball to wherever he's going to end up next week.
Right, sack him off then. He's beat.
Johnny, we'll do it symbolically, right? You get a tiebreaker out of this. Because
he
knew who it was. And he even identified him as being the Player of the Year.
But even if Johnny
the same, the same argument, you could be like, oh, it's the guy, who played... The boy for hearts.
Who cares? Let's go for a tiebreaker anyway.
Oh God!
How many competitive games was Pedro Caixinha in charge of Rangers? Write it down quickly, Gordon DL. How many competitive games was Pedro Caixinha in charge of Rangers?
Oh no, I don't know.
What are you going for, Johnny?
45.
45 says Johnny. Gordon says 94.
I don't know.
That's two full seasons.
Oh well, I've won then, haven't I?
What? Pedro Caixinha. It was like a famously short stint.
Oh, why did I go 94?
94 is two seasons.
No, I didn't mean 94.
49.
What did you mean?
What did you mean? Hold on.
No, you're not getting another go.
Hold on, that's what I meant.
No, Johnny's won.
49.
What did Johnny say?
I don't know. What did you say, Johnny?
45.
He still beat you. He's 26. I give you two goes at that.
Is it? Okay,
he still pipped you. Johnny, I honestly...
Nah, you're not getting anything.
I don't even know if we're going to give you anything, because 1 minute you're in Naples, next Nigeria,
I'll be at Stenhouse Muir against Alloa on Saturday night.
I'll tell you what, I'm going doing anything Saturday night. Do you want me to come along?
Johnny, you are...
No, come along.
You are a Motherwell fan, though, yeah?
I'm a Motherwell fan. I want... there's a boy playing for the Alloa that I want Motherwell to sign for next season.
Well, you're an international scout now who just gets himself in bother. Do you think Motherwell can do anything in the title race and disrupt Celtic tomorrow?
Well, I mean, it's amazing that towards the end of the season that we've actually started taking points off the big teams. When it comes to the... But I just want us to get into Europe again. That would be great.
It's funny how you can, and I don't, this is not a complaint, just you can definitely spin this. I've seen a lot of people say Motherwell are now out of form. They've got one win in the last eight, I think. But also, since the split, they've gone to Ibrox and won and taken points off Hearts. So it's like, it's not exactly a terrible way of looking at it either, is it?
I was on here lots of times thinking we were going to win the league. Do you know what I mean?
That happened.
I know, but
you've been on lots of times thinking you're going to win a ball.
You see what I mean though, Killian? it's not that one's not accurate. One win in eight is not good. It's not as good as it was previously. But I don't know if it tells the full picture when you look at the Rangers result and the Hearts result.
No, I think everyone knows this, how tough a game it will be. Everyone knows how good Motherwell can play. They also have, I know it was under a completely different Celtic that they beat them the last time there. So I think it's by no means is it an easy game at all for Celtic. I just think Celtic have hit form just at the right time, and I just think it's too much for them at the minute.
I mean, again, I'm more just balancing off the one win and eight, Gordon, because a draw is no use for Celtic either, really. Mm. Well, you wouldn't have thought so. Only Falkirk have gone to Fir Park and won this season. No other team has gone there and won. Hearts have gone twice. Rangers have gone twice. Celtic have been there. Only Falkirk, because they've got some sort of witchcraft over Motherwell, for which they deserve immense credit. But that's it. Two home defeats in the entire season.
On top of that, have a look at the clean sheets they've had. Not many.
They've tailed off a bit.
Yeah, they have, yes. But before that, up until the
Conceded
Rangers...
Conceded the fewest home goals in the league.
Yeah, that's my point. They've been absolutely brilliant defensively as well, as midfield and attacking. They've got the full package. Listen, I'm not getting... I'm not kidding myself on here. It will be a difficult game for Celtic tomorrow. But I think Celtic momentum coming off of that Rangers win... I think they're looking sharper. I think one or two players are starting to hit form at the right time. I think Alistair Johnston is massive for them, coming back, get right back. So I just think that Celtic will go there. It'll be difficult, but I think they'll get the job done.
Let's hear a bit more from the managers in the build-up to that game. Here is Jens Bertel Askew.
I was there Sunday to watch the game, and you could feel the whole atmosphere in the club. It's a lot more united now, and really in a good state. A lot of positivity around them, and obviously the way they after a difficult start in the game. I think they started really brightly, but then they go behind, and then to come back and win. From that perspective, have everything in their own hands. It's a massive thing for them to have right now. So I think they have all the momentum going into the last two games that they could have hoped for. How the season played out. So it's obviously a team that. That is in a good place, the best place they've been for a long time, as I see them, but also a team that suddenly have a lot to lose, which can maybe also affect the mental state of the game. So I think there will be momentum shifts in the game from start to finish, and we need to deal with that emotional state of the game as well.
The Super Scoreboard audience must be losing its edge towards the end of the season. It's 7:20, and we've not yet had the theory that Jens Bertolascu will
Celtic
lie down tomorrow so that he can have Celtic in the Champions League when he's in charge of them next season. Or the counterpoint is he want to really show what he can do to make sure he secures the job. I thought that was it. I thought we were guaranteed to get some of that this season.
Yeah, but disappointed with that, especially with the lead up to the game. Listen, he's been absolutely brilliant for Motherwell. Some of the football that's been played at Fir Park, not just at Fir Park, away from home as well. It's been a delight to watch, and it shows in the fact that Motherwell's crowds are well up. You've seen the atmosphere, Gordon, Saturday with Hearts, and to be fair to Hearts, they brought some support as well. I think it'll be the same tomorrow night. It'll be a packed Fir Park, the excitement, drama, everything. I think it'll be a very good game. I think there'll be goals. I just think Celtic will have the edge.
Okay, 01419511025. Good time to call. We will get you on next if you do.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here alongside Killian Sheridan. Loads of time for you to call. I really want to try and turn attentions to the bottom six tonight as well, and the playoffs. So if you've any thoughts, now would be a really good time to do it, whilst I tell you about this quickly.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Thank you to Stacey and the Cairngorms for sending this in, and thanks to the sponsor Arcaplan Glasgow as well. Can you name the last six teenagers to score for either Old Firm team? Quite simple, can you name the last six teenagers to score for either Old Firm team?
Fern the Curtis?
Yes.
Mikey Moore?
Yes. Nice, easy, recent one. Okay, we can leave it there, because that's two out of six already. So you're fine.
Teenagers.
No, you're fine. Let's leave it there. In the league, sorry, a league game, I think there is a distinction there. No, I said leave it there for good reason.
Sorry.
He's wrong anyway. Okay. Thanks to Stacey for sending it in. Keep the questions coming full time at Clyde1.com. Ryan is in Falkirk. How's it going, Ryan?
Not bad, Gordon, myself.
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
I just want to speak about when you were speaking maybe about 20 minutes ago about the bottle in my Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me laugh a wee bit. I was listening to Gordon as well. You've seen it.
What was funny about
it? Hearts didn't win the league. No, just that if Hearts didn't win the league, it wouldn't be because they've bottled it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think 110% it would be. James McFadden said it on Sky as well. If I think back towards near the start of the season, I think there were 14 points ahead of the Rangers, who ended up catching not so much now because they're out of it, but then there were 8 ahead of Celtic, I think, and going into November, and now it's going to go down to the final day.
So what?
I just think that if Celtic or Rangers were in that position, you know, we would always be saying 110% they've bottled it.
Ryan, here's an alternative scenario, right? See, when Hearts were 14 points clear,
yep,
Celtic and Rangers were underperforming. Then Celtic and Rangers started performing better, and that's how the gap closed. Yeah. What's that got to do with Hearts' bottle?
Well, just they've dropped 28 points as well this season.
So when Hearts get that 14 point lead, right? Anything less than that, if they don't get to the end of the season with a 14 point lead intact, it's all down to bottle.
No, don't you win it by that much? But if they're that far in front, you'd like to think anybody should win any league. If you're that far ahead.
But we're in a slightly different situation where you've got two much bigger, much richer, much more powerful teams who were underperforming. They were so far off their level. So they were always going to return, maybe not fully to that level, but closer to it. Hearts have been top for like 32 weeks. They can't say that they've bottled it.
No, I understand what you're saying. I just feel at the same time, you kind of touched on it a wee bit there about the bigger and richer that's in Celtic underperforming. I think that's obviously just why where Hearts are where they are. Because in any other normal season, if Celtic hadn't appointed Wilfred Nancy or whatever, the league would already be done.
Hey, listen, that's a different point, and that's not Hearts' fault. But the fact that Hearts were 14 points ahead and are now not, is not linked to bottle.
No, I'm astonished that MD can say that Hearts would bottle it if they didn't win the league with two games to go. I'm not having that.
See, if you're
when was the last time anybody outside Celtic Rangers was in Hearts' position?
But see, sir,
for 32
I don't know,
weeks,
seven points clear with four games to go, and you lose it from there.
Yeah,
I think that's more of a fair accusation.
Points Hearts have, they've been up against, I know not for the full season, but they've had two teams breathing down their neck, Celtic and Rangers, up until recently. I don't think I would say Hearts would bottle it if they lost it if it was to be the final day. I think even if you said 6 months ago or when Hearts were at their biggest lead and you said it's going to end up going down to the last day, I still don't think you would say call that bottling it or throwing away anything.
You're looking at a team, Cullen, when the big games have come along, they've been there. They've stood up and been counted. They've beat Celtic. They've beat Rangers. You know what I mean? They've lost a game and everybody went, that's their bottle gone. Next minute, their next game, they bounce back, they win. They've been top of the league, as you say, gone 30, 32 game, weeks, whatever it may be. That's not a team that bottles.
They've also had to do it, Ryan, for a period without Lauren Shankland and Cammy Devlin and various others along the way. Surely they deserve a bit more credit on that front.
No, that's true. I understand what you're saying. I just feel like they're, I don't know, it's maybe you're saying just with the difference in the size of the clubs or whatever, but I just feel that, well, you know, Celtic are having the season from hell and can win the league, and it would be, you know, I've heard people saying that Celtic wouldn't deserve to win the league. Well, of course they would. Just like anybody that wins the league, you would say technically do deserve to win the league. But I just feel like Hearts have been the best team and they're the best thing since the bread of a season, and Celtic have just been terrible, but yet Celtic can still win the league.
I just can't understand this thin-skinned bit when you, like, Celtic, especially Celtic, Rangers to a lesser extent, but especially Celtic, you have earned the right to be held to a higher standard. Like, enjoy that, embrace it. Don't then get all uppity because teams who have a different stratosphere of the resources that you've got, you know, have done well. Like, nobody's, anybody who says Celtic are terrible, and by the way, a lot of them are Celtic fans, is based on compared to what they expect and what they've been used to in last season. It's, you know, it's
Hearts, if Hearts went on to win the league now, and then in the next 5 or 6 years have the same kind of season and maybe win the league a few times, then at that stage you can start to say, okay, if they're 3 or 4 points ahead coming into a split, or they go that within the last 4 or 5 games, then I think they would qualify to say, okay, they've bottled it. I don't think they're at that stage now to say they're a team that's bottled the league.
I just as well got this notion, you know, Hearts are the best thing since sliced bread. Nobody said that for a start. And also, we can't have it both ways. We can't have we can't change history. We can't have a history there which says no team outside of Glasgow has won our top flight since the mid-80s. And then as soon as a team looks like doing it, you're not allowed to praise them. But, you know, I don't...
Yeah, I think it's a bit unfair in Hearts, isn't it? I really do. Here's a question. If Celtic don't win their next two games and win the league, do they bottle it? Because they've got it in their hands. They've got it in their hands. It's all down to Celtic.
It's amazing we're in this position.
How's that amazing? You see, Gordon just summed it up there. As much as what you'll say is, oh, we've missed a couple of big players, have a look at your wage bill. Have a look at your squad. You're packed to international football players. You're buying wingers for £5 million. So how's it amazing that Celtic are in with a chance of winning the league?
Well, I kind of know what he means in that, though, because everybody had written them off. It didn't look like it, did it? Let's be honest. And you met, yeah, they've spent £5 million, but not very wisely.
No, they've spent probably more than £5 million.
No, I was talking about on individuals.
But you always imagine that Celtic, being Celtic with the resources that they've got, they're going to be up there. It was the same that Rangers fans give it. Oh, Danny Rowe, it's incredible how he's got us into a title challenge, out, get us into the title race. Come on.
Well, no, I get up to a point, but the people, I think we had a caller on, you know, we'd have been bottom six if Russell Martin had stayed.
Never in a million years.
You just wouldn't. That's the thing. That's
no,
that's the
I could take Rangers over for a year and wouldn't be bottom six.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%.
Would you go fifth? You think, if
no, I'd probably have the title wrapped up.
No,
I'd
be, seriously, I'd though. Where do you think? No, seriously. I think you could lead them at fifth.
Fifth?
Mm-hmm.
Catch yourself on. I'd have them up there challenging.
Too much for you.
Not at all.
Head would go.
Nah. Listen, a guy that's took smaller teams to cup
finals.
That's
what I mean, wee teams. Nothing.
Well, give me the big teams. Give me the big boys.
Nah.
I'll show you what I'm all about.
Thank you to Ryan on 01419511025. Keep the calls coming in. I don't know if you St Mirren fans just can't come out from behind the sofa, which is fine. But if you do manage to, please give us a call. Killian's already, he opened the show. He went straight in, actually, two-footed this guy. He pretty much opened the show by saying, tonight. It's the night St Mirren are gone.
I'm not arguing with him.
Get it over and done with and just let us...
Just don't even play
enjoy
the game.
Enjoy the top six.
What do you... How do you see tonight? It's a huge night in the bottom six.
I totally agree with him. I think St Mirren will be their fate tonight. Kilmarnock play Dundee at home. Am I correct in saying that? They're on a high. I think Kilmarnock obviously has had enough. I think Saturday cemented the fact that they will be safe.
So it's a 4-point gap with two to go,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, St Mirren are gone. St Mirren are really gone, Gordon. They can't score goals, first and foremost, and that's a massive, massive problem. They're going up against a man, and he'll still be hurting from when he went down to Paisley and the criticism he took with Aberdeen. They were rotten that day, and he took a lot of criticism, and the St Mirren fans loved it, and rightly so, because it's their old manager coming back. He'll be looking for that tonight. Aberdeen have put a couple of wins together. I don't see St Mirren getting anything at Pittodrie, and I'll tell you what, I think they're in trouble, because I think the two teams that are playing tonight in the Championship have got every opportunity, whoever it is, to beat St Mirren over two legs.
You see it every season where the team coming up is always on the better momentum coming in against the other team, and I just think if it's Dunfermline that come through and are in that playoff final, then they have the everything behind them. They've beaten all these Premier League teams. And then if Partick beat Dunfermline, they've said, well, we've knocked out the so-called giant killers, Premier League killers, so we can also take St Mirren.
Yeah, and you've got Partick that's been there before and played probably St Mirren off the park. They were excellent that night.
So do you think for St Mirren then, what's the... You think they're definitely gone in terms of 11?
I think they're playoffs.
How important is it then, though, that you do go into that with something? So... They might, you know, they could still win tonight and end up in the playoffs. Do you think that counts for something rather than doing the old Hibs one where it's just a slide and it's just it just can't be turned? Sorry to make this about Motherwell, but it's the only one I can remember kind of off the top of my head. When Motherwell went into the playoff against Rangers in 2015, obviously they lost a few games before. That's what saw them finish down there. But I think a few weeks prior, I think they beat St Mirren 5-0. I think there was a good home win against Kilmarnock. They just couldn't quite make up the points, but they actually still had some good results in amongst that, which shows, you know, you've got that reference. You get to the playoffs and you think still a good team. Does St Mirren need that? Because if they perform in the next two games like they did on Saturday, how on earth do you muster the belief and confidence that you can win the playoff?
Yeah, having won the league with Rangers, I'm now managing St Mirren, and I'm telling you now, I would love to get to that game a bit of momentum rather than the slide. You're rightly, because you're looking and you're thinking, where's the confidence come from? Where are we going to get? And their big trouble, and I mentioned it earlier, is goals. They're struggling to score goals.
But how difficult?
It's the hardest thing to get in football is confidence or momentum, and they're both pretty much hand in hand. And when it's just not there, you can talk about everything and say we need to do this and that, but ultimately they need to... I agree with you. Within these last two games, they need to find some sort of momentum. Or
how difficult is that going to be, even stylistically? Because obviously everyone knows Stephen Robinson played a certain way. Craig McLeish came in and quite quickly tried to play very differently. Got a couple of good results and got the job. That's then stopped working. And by the way, they've had really bad luck with injuries as well. And your pal Alec Gogic, two-game suspension at that time of the season. Ayunga, Declan John. The list goes on, various other injuries. But then Craig McLeish, in that quite emotional interview after the game at the weekend, was talking about when you get back to being horrible to play against. And maybe I'm no tactics head, maybe you can do that within the style that he had, but maybe it feels like they are caught in between.
Yeah, I think he's caught in between. I think he went in at first, Gordon, and everybody was giving him so many pats in the back because he tweaked it a little bit, and people saying, oh, he's let them go and play with a bit of freedom. All of a sudden, the brakes have went on in that. They're starting to go down that hill, that slippery hill.
Oh, jeez, you and your analogies.
Right, and he's now thinking, how do I stop the slide here? And he's going, do I go back to the old ways? Sometimes you've just got to sort of put your pride to the side and think, right, okay, yes, I got all the praise because people were even talking about me getting the job because I tweaked one or two things and we were winning games, we were doing okay. This is when it'll test them if he's got the potential to go on to be a manager.
Your pal Gogic comes back in tonight. Yeah. Richard King comes into the starting 11, but again, I'm looking at the lineup, so emergency goalie. He's having to play again as well. Ross Sinclair, Fraser, Gogic, Donnelly, King, Devani, Campbell, Freckleton, Phillips, Mandron. The name I left out because I wanted to elaborate on is Mark O'Hara. So you've got a scenario at the weekend. You play Mark O'Hara kind of out of position, take him off at half time, he's a captain, and then tell everybody publicly that you apologised to the captain for taking him off. It feels like there's a lot, you know, what needs fixed in the next couple of games.
Yeah, and generally when one thing goes wrong, everything goes wrong. But I think he does deserve a lot of credit for coming out and actually being like, well, actually maybe we do need to change the style of play and just go back to, to being nasty and hard to play against. It's probably a thing now where I think a lot of managers, younger managers, feel like it's their style of play over results. I think he's probably realised I need to park that for a minute and just first and foremost try and keep the club up. So fair play to him for that. But I think he got away with, or the team got away with, those first few games, although it changed the style of play and they were playing a much different brand of football, I felt like they scored a lot of set pieces though.
That's true. I think the Falkirk game that they won was a couple, wasn't it? Do you think Dundee will beat, will beat Dundee tonight, and then all of a sudden this can happen where a couple of games out you're maybe worried about being in the playoffs, 2 weeks later the table's finalised and you're miles away from it? That could be Kilmarnock. You know, look how good that was at the weekend. Their home form is obviously pretty good. It's better than their away form, even though they've gone and got a result on the road at the weekend. Think fancy Kelly at home to Dundee?
I think obviously Dundee are safe and Stephen Presley deserves a lot of credit. I think he's doing a very good job up there, come under a lot of criticism when he get appointed. I think Kilmarnock, we're talking about momentum and form, they've sort of I think their big Achilles heel was going on the road. They were losing goals in the first minute, putting themselves in real, real trouble. They went to St Mirren at the weekend and that was their cup final, let's not be kidded, and they come through that. You've got a young lad in the left wing, Finlay Curtis is on fire just now. They're at home, their record's decent at home against the Dundee side tonight. Yeah, I fancy Kilmarnock to win that. St Mirren are in real trouble for me.
And Dundee United, Livy, shrug of the shoulders.
Yeah, just
dead rubber.
Toss you the coin.
Beat the pundit, just got the road.
Red or blue, yeah.
No additional time, just play the game.
No, 90 minutes.
Nobody cares. Exactly. That's another online reference that he won't get.
I was going to say, would you think the Kilmarnock St Mirren game last weekend was a sliding doors moment.
Yes, St Mirren opened the door, Kilmarnock walked right through it.
Honestly, you two are, I'm starting to think a bad combination. Right, what about the playoff? Because we're talking about Dundee United, Livy, meaningless. Can't get more important really than Dunfermline against Partick Thistle. Leg one, they'll play again in the second leg. Winner will play St Mirren, according to you two. So what do you think? Are you going Dunfermline's big game shocks that they've racked up in the cup, or the fact that, let's not forget, there was a whole championship season played and Thistle were miles ahead of Dunfermline with, I think, 3 head-to-head victories against them?
Mm-hmm. I'm strongly fancying Thistle.
Even though Dunfermline are capable on those nights that we've seen?
Without a shadow of doubt, Dunfermline have got it in their locker under a very experienced manager who got them at a cup final, which is absolutely brilliant for them. I just think Mark has been excellent in Alec this year with Partick. I think he's got all these players back now basically fit. He'd one or two injuries to key players, experienced players like Tony Watt and people like that. He's got them all fit. He's had that little extra bit of a break to go and work on things. Their record at Fir Hill this season, the championship, has been excellent. So I think it'll be a tight game tonight, East End Park. I think Thistle will get the job done at Fir Hill.
Dunfermline line up: Aston Oxborough in goal on loan from Motherwell, Chocola Mullen, the captain, Nguenya, Gilmore, one of the many Todds, Matty Todd in there, Kearney, Amadi, Kane, Andy Todd, Morrison and Fraser. As for Partick Thistle, they've got Josh Clark in goal, Reading, Ashcroft, Smith, Chalmers, O'Reilly, Fitzpatrick, McPherson, Stanway, Listosa and Tony Watt. Due in here tomorrow. Let's see what happens tonight. See if he shows up or not. If it's a bad night,
well, if I
one
tune
of you two
in,
might find yourself back in.
I've got to say, if I tune in and he's not in, then I know it's been a bad night for Thistle.
Right, on the teaser, the last 6 teenagers to score a league goal, for an Old Firm side: Mikey Moore, Finlay Curtis,
The lad that got injured,
Newman as well, Osmond.
Yeah.
No,
No.
Not in the league, perhaps.
Who's it come? A teenager. Who's a teenager?
Lassie.
Magoma.
Yes. Well done. Magoma is a teenager, indeed. Or was, certainly when he scored. And we'll get the rest of the answers when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Killian Sheridan are here. We've got kick-off in all the big matches tonight, so we'll keep an eye on what is happening. And before we go any further, just a quick mention to the podcast sponsor, White & Mackay, triple matured whiskey, crafted on the Clyde, and a bit like Super Scoreboard, proudly from Glasgow, but celebrated globally. If you ever miss the show, you can catch up on the Rio app or wherever you get your podcasts. So please do check it out, the Clyde One Super Scoreboard podcast, proudly sponsored by White & Mackay Triple Matured Whiskey. You can visit whitemackay.com. And as always, please drink responsibly. Before we get any action underway, what about your teaser this evening? Can you name the last six teenagers to score a league goal whilst playing for an Old Firm team? Mikey Moore, Finlay Curtis, Jaden Magoma.
I'm going to go Bailey Rice.
Nope.
McCausland.
Nope.
Kieran Tierney.
Nope.
James Forrest.
Nope.
Ah, Dane Murray.
No.
Donovan.
Nope.
Oh well, I'm done.
Yeah, you're not doing too well.
No,
they're enough. Really difficult. To be
how
honest.
many more Celtic?
Two more Celtic.
Is any of them still playing
at Celtic?
Yeah,
no.
Rangers.
No.
No. Right. Okay.
So the Celtic ones fall into two different categories. One is an academy kid, if you like, who was there as a teenager. The other is a signing that came in and was a first team player, but you maybe just forgot that he was as young as he was when he
Abada.
Yes, Leal Abada. Okay, two to get. Let's bring in Andy on the line. How are you, Andy?
Hi, Gordon, Killian, how you doing, guys?
Andy,
all right?
Good, Andy. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm going to say it's just great to be a football fan again. There's a wee period we go through and you start questioning if it's all worthwhile, and then you beat Rangers on Saturday, so you can sign them to thirds, guarantee Champions League playoff. You go this Saturday, we'll beat Hearts and win the title. The following Saturday, we'll go and win the Scottish Cup, and then it's 2 weeks to the World Cup. It's fantastic to be a football fan again.
So you're going to give up on football fandom when things aren't going well for your team, but jump back on board when it's rosy?
Absolutely no. It was just difficult. I said it's just good to be back at. So hey, no, listen, and no harm to you and Gordon. I know you've got affiliation with Motherwell, right? And I've heard the show tonight, and everybody who's spoke so far has said it'll be a difficult game tomorrow. I think Celtic will take care of Motherwell quite easier than what I'm going to suggest. It'll be 3-0 or 4-0, and I'll tell you the reasons, Gordon. Everybody talks, and Killian was going on about this about 5 minutes ago, and it's about momentum. Celtic are now 6 games out of 6 winning. I think Motherwell's won 1 of the last 7. Motherwell missing Welsh, but I think the other centre back's out as well.
Yeah, McGinn.
So it's aye, but McGinn's out. It's good pairing. But Motherwell are getting injuries at the wrong time. And Saturday, Leonard and Halkett, who I think Halkett's been excellent. I was flagged off some of my pals for saying I think he should be in the World Cup squad. Anyway, for me, the big thing, the opposite for Celtic, Maeda coming into form, Johnston coming back, Engels coming back, Tierney's hitting form. I think Celtic are just clicked at the right time. And I genuinely see us winning 3 or 4 nil tomorrow night.
It will be. There's no point in me saying, no, they won't. And then, it'd be some statement. If Celtic can go there, we're only. Motherwell have lost 2 games this season, both to Falkirk. Yep. Celtic can go there and win 4-0. That would be some statement in the last week of the title.
It's not happening. Let's be honest about that. Let's put that to bed. I said earlier that I do fancy Celtic to go to Fir Park and pick up the 3 points. I think it'll be a good game. I do agree. I think Andy makes great points, because we said that earlier in the show about momentum, the guys that are Celtic and for them. Alistair Johnston coming back in, they look a bit...
How big a difference is he making?
But just to have him in the back four and put on that team sheet, it is a massive difference. It's such a boost. And I'm not having a go at Donovan or Ralston or Remdy, who was there before. Johnston is a big, big player for Celtic. He's so important going up and down that right-hand side. Great energy about him as well. Maeda's starting to click as well. Ingles has come in.
Do you know what I've wondered on that? Is has it the last couple of weeks shown that he's even quite a good bit better than Araujo? Like, people quite liked him, I think. The Celtic fans phoned in and said
Johnston's miles ahead of him.
Yeah.
I'm miles ahead of him. I really do. I think Johnston's a full package. I think he'll go on to other things in time to come. It was a pity he had that injury, but I think he makes such a big difference to Celtic. They look stronger and everything with them in the team as well. Look, Motherwell are well capable of going and passing that ball about and keeping that ball all day long because they've got the ability, they've showed it. I think it'll be a great game. I've said from the start of this programme tonight, this title is going all the way.
You think Hearts win tomorrow as well, Andy?
Yes, yes I do. I think Hearts are a good side. And to be fair, people say if they bottle it, they're certainly not bottled it for the squad that they've got. I think what Hearts are doing just now is they're laying a foundation down for the next 5 or years, 5 or 6 years of Scottish football. I don't think they're going away. I think they're a team that will be reckoned with. However, I do believe that on that note, I see when I talked about the players coming back, see if Celtic during this summer can keep the big players. If they get Jota back and CCTV, make it nine of them, so you're there. If we get Carl Vickers back and Jota, I think it was only 2 or 3 signings away. And bear in mind, if my big predictions come true, right, it puts us in the Champions path of the Champions League against a team again that we were seeded against. I think that Celtic could get back to where a lot of people hoped we would be. This has been a bit of a difficult season. But when you ask about Hearts, Hearts will win tomorrow night. I just think we'll have too much for them on Saturday, Gordon. I think watching the game on Saturday there, the Celtic game on Sunday there, I just feel that they're back to where they should be. And I think it's the players that have made the difference. Alistair Johnson, by the way, Engels was under the radar a good bit as well. But what a difference he makes as well.
I must say, the problem is we've not got time now to explore this fully because the clock is ticking. We're nearly there. Even if Celtic win the title, I'm not sure about Andy's assessment. They're maybe two signings away from next season. Is it not going to be a massive summer regardless?
Yeah, because I think it'll be seen as rather a kind of stumbling to winning the league this season. I think everyone can see the performances hasn't been there. Mentality and everything brilliant to keep kind of digging in games and stuff. But I do think they'll need a lot more than just the two signings.
Because again, might win the league. Still don't know who the manager is going to be. Mm-hmm. He's hit form at the right time, but everything has not been rosy with Daizen Maeda this season, and it was all down to this thought that he wanted to leave and he should have gone. So does he go this time? Rio Hatate, who's been a mainstay for years, now can't get in the team. Has his cycle come to an end? You look at Arne Engels was subject of a big bid from Nottingham Forest, and that's before you get to guys who, they're going to need a new goalkeeper because Kasper Schmeichel retired and wasn't able to be replaced. You've no idea what the next manager would want. They've got some loan signings who are filling holes in the squad. Mm. Well, aren't filling them, but sort of should be. Oh, it's surely going to be big no matter what Celtic do in the next 2 weeks.
100% it's a big job.
But it'll be a much easier task
if they win the double.
Having just won a double.
They've got a great opportunity to win the double. But there's a big rebuilding job there for Celtic. Let's not be kidding.
Okay, let's leave it there. Thank you to Andy. Thistle coming close. They were just a heavy touch on the edge of the box away from being in on goal. They've probably started the better of the two sides, Gordon. Would that be fair? They have.
They're putting Dunfermline under a bit of pressure here. There'll be goals in this, and I said earlier, if Mark can keep this tight, then I fancy them strongly at Firhill on Friday night.
Yeah, it's always interesting, the two-leg dynamic in the playoffs. So we will see not only what happens tonight, how it sets it up for the second leg in those Premiership games. Nothing yet. I was hoping we'd get some early drama. Aberdeen, St Mirren, Dundee United, Livy, Kelly Dundee, all goalless. Same story, Dunfermline, Thistle. Let's finish off quickly. We're looking for the last 6 teenagers to score a league goal for an Old Firm team. Mikey Moore, Finlay Curtis, Jaden Magoma, Leah Labada.
I've got one Celtic, the lad Daniel Kelly.
Yes, well done.
Hatch me out.
Okay, he's Rangers. He was one of those loan signings from a big club down south. Wasn't very good at Rangers and has actually gone back and kind of kicked on, which you don't get.
Man United boy. Is it not Danilo?
See, I'd give you that like I did on Beat Pundit.
Diallo.
Well done. Thank you to Gordon Dalziel and Killian Sheridan. Big night in the bottom six, huge night in the playoffs. And my goodness, tomorrow, who knows what will happen and where the title race will sit come full time. It's going to be a long one on Clyde One Super Scoreboard tomorrow. Make sure you're there and enjoy if you can. Speak to you soon.